It's Monday, February 7th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. We've got a great show lined up for you. And yes, I'm glad to be back in very warm Honolulu versus very cold Chicago. Got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Whispering confirmed.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Our bevy of bloggers are, man, they've been posting up a storm, a lot of great content. So make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check the website out and all the ongoing content. Of course, you want to check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Same thing with the special media. Definitely check out all the special media from shows that we've covered, and that's via the special media link. And you get subscribed to all those shows right there on the main page as well. There's a big, huge, basically an orange box on the website. And let's see if I can actually bring this up on the... on the screen here. And I don't know if I'm going to get this exactly right or not. So let me try this. And what's going on is I'm not prepped tonight. Here we go. So basically on the main website, you'll see the blog subscribe button, audio podcast, video podcast, special media event, and the morning tech show. So all those feeds right there in that orange box. Get subscribed. And that way you'll get all the content delivered directly to your either portable media device, your iPod, whether it be a iPhone or a BlackBerry, whatever it may be. And that's definitely the way to get subscribed to the show. Of course, there's a link on the website as well for the newsletter. You get signed up for our newsletter that gets you dialed into basically receiving the show notes immediately following the podcast. And the show notes contain everything that I talk about during the show. So I hope that you'll get signed up for the newsletter, and that way, basically, it's the best way to stay informed, of course, the newsletter and being subscribed to the show. Well, of course, I'm just getting back from very chilly Chicago. They were dug out by the time I got there, and pretty quiet inside the city. We went out to dinner a couple of times and got a lot accomplished, a lot that I'm not really privy to really discuss at this point. But we got some exciting stuff coming up throughout the year, and we are going to be hiring someone. So I'll talk about that here in a few moments. But of course, I want to welcome listeners from 179 countries worldwide, and thanks for tuning in to the show, whether you be doing it, listening to the show via audio or watching a video, whether you be watching on the Roku or Boxy, or even if you're watching live, either on Ustream or on Justin TV. Of course, if you got comments on today's show, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and you can call the voicemail hotline available at 619-342-7365. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your commentary about the show. Of course, I want to thank a sponsor here. Thank my sponsor, GoDaddy.com, for being a longtime sponsor of the show and really helped me keep the lights on. And GoDaddy had a couple of interesting advertisements last night on the Super Bowl, and I had to laugh. I really was. I was kind of chilling in the hotel room all by myself. It was the guys had already left. Most of the guys, well, everyone had left to travel back home, and I was the last one in Chicago. And so I ordered up some Chicago deep dish pizza, and I did not really know when their commercials were going to come on, and I happened to catch one of the two. And, of course, we all saw the CG superimposed Joan Rivers. Wasn't her body, for sure, but it was definitely her face. And I laughed quite a little bit about it, but I noticed that there was a lot of comments on Twitter that were two thumbsing it down. But, you know, it was just, it was hilarious. I thought it was funny, and it was a nice twist. But, you know, it is what it is, and you'll have to admit that they tend to surprise us every year. Second commercial, no, I wasn't so up on that one. Obviously, there was some very strong annotations there. But, of course, the Skechers commercial, I think, was probably the most raunchy. That was the one I probably wouldn't want my kids to see. But long story short, GoDaddy had a great showing at on the Super Bowl, and you can save some money by when you go over to GoDaddy.com and pick up your domain name or .co domain or whatever it may be by using my promo code CES25. Will save 25%, save you 25% for new customers. Geek5 will save you orders 15% on orders $20 or more. Promo code Todd will save you 10% on all non-domain orders. ComSale 2 will get you new .coms and new .com renewals. Geek199 will get you .coms at $1.99 for new customers. There's a whole host of codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Definitely check that out. Now, I'll have a comment from a listener who actually used a number of my codes in basically renewing some stuff and how he was actually get the most maximum utilization out of the codes. And we'll talk about that when I read email from listeners tonight. But thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the show. And I hope that you'll continue to sponsor or support GoDaddy by picking up products and services over there. Well, lots going on. Really a pretty busy weekend for me. Just to the point of just, you know, running around and then having meetings, and it was pretty busy. So lots to talk about in the future, and we'll kind of get into that later. But at this point, nothing really to announce except that we've got a great update coming to PowerPress. The PowerPress update, for those of you that are podcasters that listen to the show, I'm really excited about the new version of PowerPress. It's really going to bring some functionality that is unlike anything out there, and a lot of plugins that we've looked at, and especially any of the podcasting plugins, there's nothing even close. So we're excited about that forthcoming announcement, which I'm hoping will be sometime this week, probably Monday, maybe Monday of next week when we'll actually put it up online. Also, if you are an Android user and you would like to do some beta testing for us, our podcasting app is just about ready. We're not, and this is for our communities, we're not ready to turn it loose on the Android marketplace yet. Publicly, but we would like to have some beta testers. So if you want to beta test the Android app that we've developed, definitely send me an email. Let me know what version of Android you're running on your Android device or phone or tablet. And again, we're looking for people to test it and give us feedback, what they like, dislike, so forth. We are going to ask that you not take pictures of the app or publish any of that stuff on the web, but basically, we're going to ask for some folks to give us some private feedback on it. And if you want to be a beta tester, let me know. You can drop me an email. Write at geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll get you hooked up, okay? Sales job opening. Basically, we are going to hire a full-time salesperson to sell advertising for Raw Voice. So if you know someone that has a sales background that's looking for work, hopefully located in the Midwest, let me know, because we do have an opening. We're going to be posting that job announcement in the next couple of days. But if you want more details on when that job listing's up, again, you can email me directly at geeknews@gmail.com. And happy to be looking to bring on a new employee with the company, which is kind of cool. So excited about that. We're continuing to expand. And really, it's a cool time. And I'm really jazzed about the rest of the year. I really, really am. Well, getting back to this show, if you want to be an underwriter for this show, we're taking underwriters. And if you want to sponsor a specific episode here, feel free to drop me a line and I'll get you set up to be an underwriter. Otherwise, if you are looking to help the show, you can do so by going over to audiblepodcast.com/CES and signing up for a free trial. On the airplane back today, I was about 8 hours. So I was able to listen for a full 8 hours to one of my audiobooks from Audible. And, you know, what I found myself doing today was, this was a more of a business type book, was I had the app running, the book was playing, and I had a notepad opened up, and I was writing myself notes. There was stuff I was listening to this, but man, this would be a good one to take some, write some ideas down. So this was a new way I was really using Audible, and I hadn't done this because I've been listening to a lot of fiction, but this was more of a more business style book. And so I'm writing notes as the reader is going through the various chapters, and I ended up with 2 or 3 pages of notes. I'm going back and I was looking at that tonight, and man, there's some gems in there, really are. So it's kind of a cool way if you're flying or you've got some time and you want to, or even have a pad of paper and you want to take notes about something you're listening to. It's really, I wouldn't have done it if I was just reading it, but that was a cool way to use my, to use Audible. So again, a free 14-day trial, audiblepodcast.com/CES. Get that free trial. We appreciate it. Get a free book on me here at the show and help support the stuff that we did back in January. We've had some complaints on the CES content, especially on the Roku. And what we've ended up having to do is, matter of fact, for the past 5 days, I've been re-uploading all of the content into our commercial CDN because Blip has got us throttled. They completely squashed the bandwidth pipe. We were pulling so much data through them. They shut us down. And so we're now going through and back updating all of the posts in both the TPN.TV website and on each individual's website so that we can make that experience a lot better for all of you. So if you've been having trouble with the watching the CES videos on the Roku device, here within the next 3 or 4 days, all of it will be up on the commercial CDN and you won't have that problem anymore and be able to watch that content. So we apologize for that. We just didn't know that they were going to throttle us like they did, but they did. And so we're just, we probably should have done that in the first place, but it was requiring a double upload. If you are a WordPress user, I just noticed tonight WordPress has updated their website. So make sure, or updated the blog. So make sure you run update in your within your WordPress website and do that. Hey, one thing I want to point you guys at here is the ability to save some money the next time you go out to Las Vegas. When you're heading out to Las Vegas the next time, consider Luxor. The Luxor Las Vegas is a great hotel to stay at, great prices, and they've got the guaranteed low rates out there. And really, all you got to do is basically follow the link from Geek News Central. You'll see it on the website. And basically, you click the Luxor logo right here. It'll take you over to the website. You can check out the availability and the pricing. So we hope that you'll support our show by the next time you're going out to Vegas by staying at Luxor, Las Vegas. Okay, let me look at my notes here. Do I have any other content to get into before we get into the regular show stuff? I think that's it. So, a little bit jet lagged. Well, not jet lagged, just tired. It was pretty busy. And last night, as I was getting ready to prepare to come back to Hawaii this morning, just didn't sleep hardly anything in the room last night. And then traffic this morning getting out of Chicago was, oh my gosh, was horrible. And made the airport on time and everything, but taxi cab fare back over was ridiculous. But, that's what happens, I guess, when you're flying out mid-morning Central Standard Time. But let me go ahead here and bounce into the content tonight. We've got a lot to go through, a lot of stuff going on. And one thing that I've been watching for is kind of trends as we're starting to see the economy uptick a little bit. I've been trying to keep an eye on what's been going on for those of you that are in the tech space and also for those of your programmers and really who is finding jobs and who isn't. And over on PC World, they have a good article about the economy downturn has hit older tech workers the hardest. And what they're saying here is that unemployment rates for older IT professionals have increased faster than they have for younger tech workers since the recession hit 3 years ago. And it's finding that those older tech workers, 55 and above, are having the most difficult time in finding a new job. And I think probably a large of it is companies have gotten rid of those older, experienced IT staff, and they're hiring younger folks for a lot less money. And just, you know, dealing with the, trying to keep expenses down. But it's even worse for women in technology. Said women 50 or older have remained unemployed for years, even worse than the guys. So said many of those in the IT space have basically had to change careers and retrain and do something different. But there's a good article here in PC World about that. If you're an IT professional that is still looking for work and you've been out for a while, it doesn't shed good light on basically that age sector. And moving into a little bit on the space news front, shuttle operator has proposed commercial flights for the space shuttle. NASA contractor United Space Alliance is basically preparing a long shot bid to continue flying the space shuttle after the space agency completes its last three planned missions this year. And they're saying it's starting as soon as 2013. The lead operator of NASA's shuttle fleet proposes to fly twice a year with Atlantis and Endeavour at a cost of about $1.5 billion a year. And privately, they're not going to do this through the government. They're saying if supported, the plan would reduce an anticipated gap of at least 4 years between the launch of last shuttle mission and the availability of a new commercial aircraft or spacecraft. So they're going to be proposing that. And this is kind of interesting here. Being able to do this. So the question is, will NASA allow them to continue to use the CAPES space facilities? And will they be able to keep the crews on board that they have now? Will they have those crews have to be privately trained and come out of government service? They figure that each launch will be about $560 million. So we'll see what happens here. But with the shuttle aging, this may be, there's some very high risk in relationship to the reward here. But I don't know. They feel it's safe. So we'll see how that turns out. And at least to keep those folks that are due to become unemployed, keep them employed. And a little bit of revenge on the internet. An ex-girlfriend had spammed her boyfriend's picture using Google Images. And this is pretty interesting what this gal did. She took a picture of her boyfriend and then put all kinds of text in the picture. Boy, oh boy. And first of all, does anybody want to know what mom jeans are? I don't know what mom jeans are, but this gal put that in a number of the pictures. And I have no idea what the heck mom jeans are. But anyway, this gal basically posted this ex-boyfriend's picture all over the internet. And when anybody put his name in the Google search, his picture popped up. It wasn't very flattering. I guess all these images have been taken down. But boy, oh boy, nothing like having a disgruntled girlfriend advertise what she feels are your traits to the whole world. It's actually, you just wonder how much liability there would be in this. If someone starts putting derogatory comments and posts these all over the place, you just wonder at what point does that individual have, of course, it's probably make a bad situation worse, but I just wonder if this would be something you could go to court over. I don't know. But it is interesting when there's revenge out there. And I don't know what this guy did, to be honest with you. So we'll see. We'll see how it all turns out. But apparently the pictures have been taken down, but even though Google's got them in the cache, they're still online. Hey, the Electronic Frontier Foundation has came out with some comments on the FCC's net neutrality rules. And they're saying it's a bad, bad idea. Specifically, the EFF has said, we're wholly in favor of net neutrality in practice, but a finding of ancillary jurisdiction here would give the FCC pretty much boundless authority to regulate the internet for whatever it sees fit. And that kind of unrestrained authority makes us nervous about follow-on initiatives like broadcast flags and indecency campaigns. In general, we think arguments that regulating the internet is ancillary to some other regulatory authority that the FCC has been granted just don't have sufficient limitations to stop bad FCC behavior in the future and create the Trojan horse risk we have long warned about. Now, here's something to think about if you really want to use history as a way to look at things. When radio came into play, broadcast radio, really in the beginning, in the 20s, it really was not broadcast radio per se. Anyone could buy a kit from RCA or General Electric, buy a radio kit, and become their own radio station. And in the late 20s, there was literally tens of thousands of radio stations in the United States, many of them having ranges less than 30 miles or as high as 300 miles. And really, they did not have to have a license per se. But now today, we know that if you try to put up a radio station of any sort, the FCC is going to find you, and this can be a federal crime. So what started out as an open, very, very open space in the radio broadcast realm, when the government got involved and applied restrictions to it, now we have the situation that we have across the United States where just a few companies own, about 90 or 95% of all the radio stations in existence. So we went from, every mom and pop and every store and every company having a radio station to now just being radio stations owned by two or three. So the question is, with the FCC and net neutrality, as they point to this, the Trojan horse risk we run, is that while the internet will still remain, we hope, open, are they going to start forcing these regulations that will, while I'm not a purveyor of porn, will they start an indecency campaign where they force adult websites offline? Do you think that they have the ability then to start filtering content? So here's the paradox we're facing on the FCC net neutrality rules. But it is interesting that the EFF has come back and are warning that these net neutrality rules are not good. So I have a tendency when I read briefings like the EFF to kind of side with them. I had been indifferent, I think, up to this point, and I'd been trying to get educated as much as I could on net neutrality. And the more I read and the more I hear compelling opposition cases to it, the more I'm beginning to think that the FCC rules are not a good idea. So love to hear your feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can always call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Let's talk a little bit about copyright. There is, and this is addressed twice during tonight's show, one of the folks over at BitTorrent and also some commentary over at techdirt.com. Righthaven has been going after a variety of websites for folks that are cross-posting media. Okay, so let's say I have something on my website, someone takes exactly what I have and copies it verbatim or a portion of it into their website. There's two ways I can handle it. Well, number one, I can go over there and I can do a DMCA takedown notice. Or number two, and they can fight that. The other group can fight that, saying it's fair use. Well, Righthaven now has decided to sue a company called Pajamas Media, even though Pajamas Media has a very obvious DMCA takedown notice link within their websites. In other words, if you've got a problem with some content on there, you click on that, you file the very specific takedown request, and they have a registered agent. Now, a registered agent, all that does is it basically shows that you are compliant with DMCA rules, and that if you want something taken off their website, there is a by law very specific step someone has to take to have something taken down. But even though the folks at Pajamas Media has that cognizant information on their website, they're going after them. And I don't think that Righthaven has got much of a leg to stuck as really to be, you know, they don't have much of a leg to stand on here. It still means that the folks from Pajama Media has to go to court and defend this. So we'll see. And this, you know, this may just result in simply a, you know, some filings by a lawyer, but it's still going to cost them some money. But it's ridiculous what's going on with this group, who is obviously abusing the copyright and DMCA provisions, and continue to go after companies and just trying to extort money from them. Now let's talk a little bit about some First Amendment issues. A judge has banned the handing out of pamphlets to jurors in and around a courthouse in Florida. So what's going on is a Florida judge has banned the distribution of a certain flyer that basically lays out jurors' rights. And the pamphlets say what the jurors should vote, that the jurors should vote with their conscience and not feel pressured in voting against what they believe. And this judge doesn't like fully informed juries, and he signed an order barring the group from handing out their pamphlets, not on the court ground property, and not on state property. But this is sounds to me like a First Amendment issue. Now, I haven't seen the pamphlet, but I'm sure the group is going to fight back. But once again, free speech is trying to be stifled. Whether you agree with it or not, I think that we all have to be cognizant of any time free speech is trying to be stifled, and make sure that judges are not able to get away with this. And hopefully at some point we can get, judges to realize they can't be doing this type of actions. But it's probably something we're going to have to continuously watch. Boy, oh boy, this is a big one. Imagine that you are, well, I'm just going to tell you what the story's about. Sorry. There was, I guess, a UK border agent who was having some trouble with his wife. His wife went back to Pakistan to visit family, and while she was in Pakistan visiting family, the UK border agent added her name to a terrorist watch list, which left her stranded in Pakistan for 3 years, unable to fly back home to the United Kingdom. Now, how this guy got away with it is beyond me to do this, but apparently, once he applied for a promotion, they went back through and did another background check on him, where it was revealed that his wife was on this watch list, which made them dig a little bit deeper. And when he found out, or when they found out that he had added her to the watch list, good old digital signatures and everything that tracks who's adding people and who isn't, he's been fired. But can you imagine? Can you imagine the gall this poor woman stuck in Pakistan for 3 years because her husband falsely added her to a terrorist watch list? Maybe he ought to be added to some list and sent somewhere. Crazy. Hey, I saw today on Doug Kay's website at blogarithms.com. I was pretty blown away. Doug and his wife had actually traveled to Egypt on January 19th. And they got there just as things started getting nuts. And Doug has a good write-up of everything that happened while they were in Egypt. And he's got some pictures and some video and how they got out through Jordan. And it was, wow, what a vacation. So I have this linked up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. And overall, he said he had a great time. Even though they were inconvenienced a little bit, they got to see a lot of sights. And so here's an interesting story coming out of someone that I know, at least, that was in Egypt during prior to and during a lot of the stuff that's been going on. Now, they got out before it got really bad. But anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you. Hey, Susan Bell, one of our bloggers at Geek News Central, she wrote a post today called "It's True, I'm a Hoarder." And I saw this and I was kind of like, okay, Susan Bell, you're a hoarder. So, you know, when someone says they're a hoarder, you kind of get scared because you're thinking, you know, hoarding is, you know, you've seen some of these hoarding shows where people just, you know, have these houses full of stuff. Well, she's not hoarding magazines and cats or dogs or anything like that. She's hoarding light bulbs. And she says in January 2012, we're no longer going to be able to purchase incandescent light bulbs in the United States. And she says, I'm addicted to them. And then started stockpiling them in my garage. She says, not like a whole garage full of them, but more than a couple 3-packs. And she goes on to say, I tend to buy more before the end of the year. And she goes on to say, it's all about the quality of light. We have CFLs in certain places in the house where the lighting isn't as important in my ability to see, and overhead lights that are rarely used in a front porch and a garage, but she has incandescents in places where someone sits and watch and is able to read. Now, the question is, are you hoarding incandescent light bulbs as well? Have you been buying them up knowing you're not going to be able to get them soon? I have, in my entire house is on CFLs. We have no more incandescent light bulbs left, and we've been fine, but how many of you are really stuck on the quality of light? And have you been able to find any CFLs that are, you know, have relatively the same warm light that incandescent light bulbs have? Or are you hoarding and going to have enough to last your natural lifetime? So the question is, how many light bulbs would a person have to buy in store to have enough light bulbs to last them, you know, the next 20 years or so? I don't know, because we've been off incandescent so long and CFLs last so long. I don't think I've replaced a CFL light bulb in my house in a couple of years. And yet I know that when we had incandescent bulbs, we replaced them quite often. That's the question, I guess. How many would you have to hoard? So Susabel, the question of the day is, how many are you going to hoard? And is anyone else hoarding them? Geeknews@gmail.com. is the email address. Hey, there's a good article over at blog.jackadam.net. Let's talk about the tiny humanity bubble. And it talks about how long we've been broadcasting radio waves into deep space. And of course, we've been doing it now for just about 100 years. And we do know that humanity's presence is really to anyone listening in the Milky Way. And with the bubble being pretty large, we know we've got about 200 light years across. So it says, but how big is this really compared to the size of the galaxy in which we live? Oh, actually, which is itself just one of countless billions of galaxy. So they basically have said it here that we are, because we're just a dot out there, they feel that our radio signals effectively could go about 200 light years. But there's been a lot of speculation by this, by folks that are, you know, in the science field, and, you know, it all depends on if someone was out there listening that actually had better technology than we do, they would probably be able to pick our signal up much further down in the grass. But, still 200 light years. And considering we've been transmitting about 100 years already, that means our signals have expanded out to 100 light years out. That That's quite a ways. And, but I don't know. I don't know if I want anybody seeing like Jersey Shore or anything like that that's being transmitted into space. They would definitely come in here and whack us, which brings up a conversation we'll have a little bit later in the show about basically intelligence and actually putting together specific messages that we're blasting into space and how we have to be careful about what we're sending out. And I don't think there's anything can be done, but we'll talk a little bit about it here in a minute. All right, are you Catholic? Well, Catholic bishops have approved an iPhone app that walks the faithful through the confession process. Here's the crux, though. They still have to consult a priest for absolution. The app is called Confession. So basically, it walks you walks you through the process, but you need to still go go talk to your priest to, I guess he has to tell you how many Hail Marys you have to make. Anyway, the bishops have approved an iPhone app. Okay. I think those that actually go to confession will probably still just go. I don't know. In the modern world, I don't know. Will you, you know, figure out what you have to do to confess via your iPhone app? Interesting. Hey, NASA's comet hunting probe is going to be making a rendezvous on Valentine's Day from the Comet Temple 1. If you remember a few years ago, Comet Temple 1 was the comet that we bombarded, or at least the Japanese bombarded. And the satellite Stardust Next is going to be taking pictures of the comet. Better to get a better really understanding of what the impact was of that deep impact probe that we blasted. I guess we were the one that did that. It wasn't the Japanese. But anyway, when they impacted the comet before, there was so much dust they couldn't get a clear picture. So they figure by now that it's been a couple of years, they're going to be able to get some good shots and see what the actual deep impact impact was, for a better word. So that happens on Valentine's Day. A little bit more on the space side. Private spacecraft innovators attract NASA attention, and there's a lot of stuff going out there. A lot of companies that are really going after governmental dollars to you know, to do private space launches. And this is a great write-up about a company that I wasn't familiar with at all. And this was actually a company that's out of Boulder, Colorado. They were touring a company called, what was it? Oh, I guess it's at the University of Colorado at Boulder. They were actually touring there. But I guess there's all kind of business that's going on with private space exploration. So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. Today as well, a new Navy aircraft flew the X-47B Unmanned Combat Air System Demonstration. The UCAS-D, made by Northrop Grumman, completed its first flight out of Edwards Air Force Base. This stealth fighter, which is being designed to be able to be launched from aircraft carrier, flew its first 30-minute flight today. So your taxpayer dollars work there. I have a link up in the show notes. I've got a short video as well. Hey, there's been this image taken of the Mars surface that, when you see this, you're going to be blown away by this. It's a mysterious black hole, and it's basically one of the few open areas that they've seen on the surface of Mars that they really can't see into. So there's an image of a black spot on Mars that is most like a portal into a subterranean cavern. And when you see this thing, you're going to be like, holy crap. Because when they took the picture, they were right overhead. And this thing must be super, super deep because you can't see inside. It's like, it's as black as black. And this is pretty cool stuff. But I think someday, I'd like to see them try to get inside this thing. But link will be up in the show notes. When you see this image, I think you're going to be as much as blown away as I was. For those of you that are watching on the live stream right now, let me actually bring this up on the main page where you can check it out. Actually bring this up online. But it's remarkable. It really is. And This was over at dailygalaxy.com. But pretty amazing hole in the ground, for a better word, on Mars. Not that we don't have hole in the grounds here in the United States, but or on planet Earth. But this one is kind of creepy. It really, 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 really is. Okay, let's talk about, is Earth's effort to send a message to an alien civilization a threat to Earth? Of course, there's been a lot of discussion about this. Of course, Stephen Hawking made a big, said, hey, we need to be careful who we're trying to reach out to. And I've asked for feedback before on this. I don't think we've ever received any feedback from you. But do you feel that Earth's attempt to connect intelligent extraterrestrial life could be dangerous to humanity? Or do you feel that anyone that is smart enough to be able to travel here would not be interested in actually coming down and harvesting us, for a better word, or wiping us out? I'm not, I'm a little bit mixed feelings on it. Because, you know, we could be considered a resource. The Earth could be considered a resource, just another planet amongst millions and billions of them. So do you think if we actually made contact with the alien civilization that the message we're sending them could be a threat? Like I said, if we were transmitting stuff out on Jersey Shore and some of the other TV shows, they would come out here and just, you know, wipe us out just for sheer stupidity. But what do you think? What do you think about that? I have this link out in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Provide me some feedback. If you're a T-Mobile customer and you're looking to get a new T-Mobile phone, T-Mobile has announced all-day phones free on Valentine's Day. So they want to share a little love with you. So if you're looking to pick up an Android or a MyTouch 4G or G2, the phones are free with a 2-year contract. So definitely check it out. Good time to get a phone at T-Mobile. The Toshiba Honeycomb tablet website has gone live. Of course, we got to see one of these back in January. But, of course, the Honeycomb version of the tablet is going to be running on Android 3.0. But there's a virtual look, as Toshiba's put up a page for the tablet. Not too much information is available, of course, but there's a nice video and flash overview of the device. And no solid information on a release date yet, but sometime this spring. So I'm pretty excited about this particular tablet coming online. Those of you that are using Gmail Mobile, Priority Inbox is available now on Gmail Mobile. So if you've logged in, you're going to see the Priority Inbox there, which is cool. Excuse me, I find myself using that a lot more. And it's pretty good at flagging emails that are very specific that I want to read instead of, the stuff that's lower priority is put drop down below. So that's up and online now from the folks at Google. There's a rumor out that the Mozilla Foundation is going to be very quickly rolling out new versions of Firefox over the next, really throughout the end of the year. Tentatively, they've said that they want to launch versions 4, 5, 6, and 7 all this year, and they want to have a very quick roadmap to updating the browser. And, I just can't imagine, 3 or 4 versions coming out this year, maybe a second version, maybe going from 4 to 5, but I don't know about getting to all the way up to version 7 this year, but that's tentatively what they say they have planned. Hey, big news last night, right after the Super Bowl, AOL announced that they have purchased the Huffington Post. And I'll be honest with you, this is a website that I probably have visited once or twice. It's being rumored that AOL spent $315 million, $300 million of it in cash, and the rest in stock. $300 million for Huffington Post. They started out with a meager $1 million investment. So I guess that Arianna Huffington is definitely going to be able to make a big deposit to her bank account along with her investor. But, wow. Now, AOL says that they want to turn Huffington Post and their properties into a $50 billion online resource. Are you a reader of Huffington Post? Do you guys read that website? $300 million bucks. Hey, what was your favorite ad of the Super Bowl? I think mine was the Volkswagen commercial, the Force. And I just think it was too cool. I really did. You know, you got a kid dressed up in a Darth Vader outfit. And he's running around the house trying to make things happen. You know, he hears his dad roll up into the driveway. And he runs outside and stands in front of the front of that Volkswagen car. And his dad from the kitchen, when the kid's trying to make it start, does an auto start. And very cool stuff. It was a good ad. It really, really was. Cute, to the point, great marketing. So what was your favorite ad of the Super Bowl? The Doritos ones? For me, at least. It really didn't resonate too much with me. I guess seeing, Roseanne Barr getting hit by a log, that was pretty good, I guess. But Doritos definitely picked some annoying people to be a feature in their ads. Hey, Roku has officially rolled out their USB media player channel. So if you've got a USB-equipped Roku XD or S or HDXR, you can go and basically add the USB Media Player channel, which enables users to play back their photos, music, and video stored on a USB drive. So the video formats are obviously H.264 supported, so you're going to be able to run 1080p, 2430 frames per second with... again, MP4 and 4Vs will be supported, so definitely you can check that out. Link will be up in the show notes, but this is a great way to get your media from your computer onto your big screen. Sprint has basically announced this new Kyocera Echo dual-screen Android phone, and I'm looking at this phone. Again, it's a dual-screen Kyocera Android. And I'm just like, don't fully understand the utilization of this completely, but I guess more screen is better. So what it has two 3.5 480 by 800 displays, which can be unfolded and used as a single 4.7 inch 960 by 800 surface. The screens are connected by slick sliding metal hinge that Kyocera has filed several patents on, and the phone can be closed and used like a regular single screen phone. It's unfolded all the way or propped into a laptop configuration. There's a little 1 gigahertz second-gen Snapdragon running. It's going to running Android 2.2. So we will see. We'll see how this does, and if any of you planning on picking this thing up. All right. Let's see here. What have I got next up? Hey, I'm really a big fan of these Canon PowerShot cameras. And they've just announced the SX230, and this is a really nice camera. This is actually GPS enabled as well, so definitely check out the new Canon PowerShot SX230 available between. There's a variety of models here, prices from $199 to all the way up to $349. So 14 times optical zoom, nice lens on it. And I have one of the earlier models that I carry now around, but as basically a point and shoot. But definitely check out the new Canon camera available. I guess Twitter, boy, I guess they did really good during the Super Bowl. And some of you are watching my tweets, and I was following yours as well. And apparently there was about 3 million tweets that were done during the time that the Super Bowl was on, and you can see from a traffic standpoint, basically it was under a million posts a day, and then as soon as the Super Bowl started, they as high as 3 million posts, so pretty big. The Super Bowl turned out to be the largest U.S. TV viewing audience ever, with 106.5 million people was on Fox. The only thing that sucked was whoever was in charge of the audio for the halftime show of the Super Bowl, that guy needs to be fired. The audio was horrible. I mean, it was bad, really bad. And of course, you can tell that the Black Eyed Peas have their music highly enhanced in the studio because they can't sing for crap. I mean, oh my gosh. And then destroyed some classic, absolute classic. Oh, there were some individuals rolling over in their graves. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I'm sorry. That was the worst halftime show I've ever seen. It was horrible. Ugh. I think when Usher, about 60 seconds of Usher's performance was okay. But the rest of it, a little electric guitar action was good too. But the singing was, they should have lip synced it. They really should have. It would have been more enjoyable. We could have been complaining about that. All right, this next article is over on ogizmo.com. This is cool. Someone has designed a Switch salt and pepper shaker. So if you're looking to mix it up on your kitchen table, you click it to P and it's pepper. You click it to S, it's salt. And this is pretty cool. A little novelty item. And if you're looking for a little present to give someone that's got everything, this might be the case. It's called the Spread Switch. And I don't have any pricing on that, but link will be up in the show notes. You can check it out. I found that over at Ogizmo. As well as this, hey, I know we've got a few doctors that listen to the show. I know many of you, and we have a number of nurses as well, that I've got a great way for you to look like you're busy. My UPS. I got a UPS that's going bad. We're going to talk about UPSs and disposals here later. You guys hear it beeping down there? I need to get it pulled out and replace it. But, you know, that's what happens. Isn't it drives me crazy? About every 2 years, I got to buy a new UPS. So anyway, let me go ahead and bring up this this article on Ogizmo. This is a Stephaphone. Yes, instead of a stethoscope, this is a Stephaphone. And makes you look like a highly educated physician, even while listening to an MP3 player. So basically, it looks like you are doing something a doctor-like. Instead, you've got headphones plugged in. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. But this thing is beeping for a long time this time. Usually, it beeps for a little bit and it quits beeping. Let me go back here and flip a switch. I normally can get, sometimes I get it to stop. Yeah, we'll see how long it beeps. All right. Here it goes, quit. Blood pressure monitor that's being introduced also listens for a irregular heartbeat. And this is probably a good one for those of you that maybe have coronary problems in the family to have. So it's a blood pressure cuff, and it also listens for irregular heartbeats. So a lot of these home medical stuff, it's getting a lot smarter. And maybe a good way to get an indication that something is not healthy is going on, and where you can go ahead and make the jump back to the doctor's office if you need to. So anyway, I have that up in the show notes as well. All these are over at ogizmo.com. So they're always coming up with cool stuff for me to share with you. iCork Z, and what this does is it protects your iPhone's open ports. Recently, Apple announced that they are going to be relaxing some of their moisture conditioner policies. In other words, if you take an iPhone back and as long as the components inside have not are showing corrosion, the water damage warranties are being honored for just, you know, basic moisture that the phones will accumulate through normal use. But if you want to protect your devices more, they've got these little plastic covers that go over the open ports on the iPhone. So it might be worth your time to pick one of these kits up. $9.95 and $4 shipping. And I have a link up to that in the show notes for you. Okay. Lots more news on Facebook ruining marriages out there. And a lot of people talking with ex-girlfriends. Lots of hanky-panky going on. Be careful out there, okay? And a lot of divorces happening because of Facebook. 100% disclosure is always good, okay? Facebook can be a dangerous place. Well, there's a new article on Tort Frank about pirates. And let's talk about the percentage of media being downloaded. In 2010, it appears that adult material was 35.8% of the stuff being downloaded on BitTorrent sites. Films made up 35.2%, television shows 12.7%, software 4.2%, PC games 3.9%, music 2.9%, console games 2.8%, anime 1.5%, sports programming 0.3%. Boy, that's obviously a popular thing. Books or audiobooks 0.2%. So again, the largest amount of software being downloaded and material being downloaded is films, television programming, software, PC games, music, and adult material. So this was a sampling of a huge amount of traffic that was going on with a variety of websites. And I don't know how they were able to tell the breakdown of this. But, it was 10,000 of the most downloaded files on public BitTorrent trackers in 2010. So they did that with a sampling of over 10,000 media points. Hey, in Greece, apparently they have arrested five in an operation to shut down a popular file sharing forum called the GreekZ.com website. So the GreekZ.com has apparently earned over 230,000 euros, and the individuals involved with that website have been arrested in an attempt to basically bring the site down and bring the owners of the website to task. Another article on Torrent Freak is talking about how to stop domain names from being seized by the U.S. government. And there's a whole bunch of things you can do here. I don't think there's really, you can probably do all these things. If the government wants to get your stuff taken down, they're going to. But I think the most important thing that's on this for anyone that's doing any kind of content on their website is the item that's listed as number 5 in this article. It talks about adopt the DMCA-like procedure to take down reported content. So they go on to say if you are a YouTube-like website, you need to have a DMCA registered agent, and you have to have a specific DMCA policy put in place and also be registered with a safe harbor in order for this to be protected under safe harbor rules. So check out item number 5 if you're a content creator or have any type of a syndication site, okay? All right, what do you don't do during a snowstorm? Well, you don't steal your neighbor's snow shovel. A Chicago man who works for a security company was none too pleased to find his snow shovel was stolen. So he went back to his surveillance cameras, and he detected a woman walking into his courtyard, grabbing his shovel, and then his going to her car, which was on the other side of the house, but she had a camera pointing in that direction, proceeded to dig her car out. So, apparently she didn't bring the shovel back. You know, the guy said, well, if you're going to borrow a shovel, you know, it's okay, but bring the doggone thing back. She did not do that. So the guy, the car was still parked in the spot that it was at. And he had just recently bought a brand new snowblower. So what he did was he got out his snowblower and proceeded to bury the lady's car and with the snowblower. And when the video caught her coming back and looking at her vehicle, all she had was a brush. She didn't have a shovel anymore, and it took her over 3 hours to unbury her car. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. You guys will get a good kick out of it. A revenge, ultimate revenge there, okay? Android 3.0 Honeycomb, there's demoing a video editor, and this is pretty cool. This is being demonstrated on a Microsoft Zoom, a Motorola Zoom, X-O-O-M, and one thing that I watched this video, it was pretty cool what you can do with this app on the on Android 3.0. But here's the thing that makes me mad about the Motorola Zoom is when you buy this, which is going to be priced at $799, Wi-Fi is not unlocked unless you buy the service plan. So you can't use this really for any purpose without the service plan. So I don't get it. I really don't. So are you going to buy one of these units? Spend $7.99, and if you don't get the service plan, you don't get in Wi-Fi, I'm sure that'll be the first thing that's hacked on that device. Hey, let's talk about Box software. You know, my mom lives in the country. She has her broadband connections 1.5 megs down, 300K up. She's got about EVDO speeds. But it appears that most companies are going to a solution where you cannot buy Box software anymore. And Apple is reportedly planning to move software off its retail store shelves into the Apple Store, into the Mac App Store, and forcing people to download all the software that they're going to buy. This is okay for people like me that have a broadband connection that's, you know, 6 or 7 megs down. And but can you imagine having to download, you know, a 900 meg file or something like that with you know, on a connection that's not super fast? I just don't think that going to a completely boxless offering is a smart thing to do. We will see what happens here, but that at least is what is rumored to be planned. Are you a Last.fm user? Well, Last.fm service is on mobile devices is turning into a subscriber only feature. So many companies are figuring out they've got to charge for stuff to make keep themselves in business. So after February 15th, users of Last.fm mobile app on iOS, Android, Sonos products, and numerous other non-computer platforms will have to pay $3 a month if they want to listen to Last.fm's radio offerings. So on the upside, the service will remain ad-free for subscribers, and there will be a trial period for new users downloading the apps. So this is also going to affect users on Windows Phone 7 and Xbox. And Microsoft said it would subsidize the cost that those users will be able to continue listening for free, which is interesting. So pretty cool what Microsoft's going to do. But if you're Last.fm on a mobile device, be prepared to pay. The FCC is planning on redirecting $8.7 billion in phone bill fees. Remember that Universal Service Fund? Well, the FCC wants to move that from basically giving it to the carriers to maintain their landlines to basically improving broadband. So the rumor on the street is that the FCC is going to redirect that $8.7 billion it collects every year into different usages for basically helping those that don't have broadband to get broadband. I don't know too much about this particular story, but apparently there's the internet vigilante group called Anonymous, who was involved with WikiLeaks, has been under investigation by a security firm called H.B. Gary. Apparently on Sunday, an attempt to teach H.B. Gary a lesson they'll never forget, they've basically been doing a sustained denial of service attack against their website. And so I guess this is big. They're going after these guys in a big way. So I'm sure this will add more fuel to the fire here. You know, you're already pissing a group off that's investigating into people arrested. Now they're going to be after people even more heavily. The FBI, Justice Department are investigating the NASDAQ hacking attempts. This was reported last week that the NASDAQ had basically over a period of time, a number of files were discovered on NASDAQ servers, and that weren't supposed to be there. The breach happened late last year, and it triggered a Secret Service investigation. So they've been trying to find out who is responsible, but I guess the FBI has become involved, and no trading stuff was affected, but hackers were able to get into a specific NASDAQ computers that were responsible for what's called the director's desk. Over in Ars Technica, a reverse class action lawsuit. You know that the peer-to-peer lawyers, in other words, those that have been setting up peer-to-peer lawsuits against individuals who have been using peer-to-peer services illegally, have been getting thrown out in court because they're not being filed within the jurisdiction that people live in. It's those that are under trying to be sued. So what these companies are doing now is that they're going to be filing a reverse class action lawsuit. So what they're going to do is they, instead of, you know, a class action lawsuit is usually three or four people against a big company. Well, now the big company is going to go after multiple people under a class action lawsuit. So we'll see what happens with this, see how the court reacts to it. But this is a latest tactic to overcome some of the court's basically hand slapping of different groups that have been trying to do this. So they're going to go after huge numbers through a reverse class action lawsuit. How many of you have attempted to log into a Wi-Fi network other than your own? Well, apparently 32% of people recently polled have been trying to, 40% of survey respondents said they would, that they've tried to log into other people's, what am I reading here? Two different numbers. All right, let me get my crap together here. Wi-Fi Alliance interviewed 1,054 Americans over the age of 18 about their Wi-Fi practices during the month of December, and found that 32% tried to connect to a Wi-Fi network that wasn't theirs. Now, that's up from 18% of a study done in December 2008. It says when managing their own network, 40% of the survey respondents said they would be more likely to trust someone with a key to their homes than the password to their Wi-Fi access point. Even crazier, more than a quarter said that sharing their Wi-Fi password felt more personal than sharing a toothbrush. No one ever shares my toothbrush. No, not happening. So anyway, are you guys trying to log into your neighbor's Wi-Fi? I actually had a Wi-Fi SSID said that I'll open my Wi-Fi access port if you do. I was waiting for a neighbor to respond with their SSID message. AT&T has basically said to some iPhone users, stay with us and we'll give you a free microcell. They haven't offered me one yet. I could use one up here where I live because my AT&T signal sometimes is very weak. Apparently, a dating site imported 250,000 Facebook profiles without permission. Facebook isn't real happy, but this dating site said, hey, we had to populate somehow. So, you know, these profiles were public available. Now, it turns out that the group says that they launched this website called lovely-faces.com with profile names, locations, and photos that were scraped from Facebook. The site categorizes these unwilling volunteers into personality types using a facial recognition algorithm. So you can search for someone in your general area who is easygoing, smug, or sly. And they did this more as an art or as a, they're not making any money on this. But they did this as a gag, but it just goes to show you, they went and grabbed 250,000 listings. Hey, what do you do with a dead UPS? What do you do with the batteries? Who are you returning them to? One of the UPSs I have down here is a bit I bought from the now defunct CompUSA. How are you guys getting your lead acid batteries? Are you guys getting those recycled in your town? Who's taking those? I got to find out here where I can get mine recycled because, again, I got one that I got to replace. So how are you guys doing that? You know, just don't dump these things in the trash, folks, okay? If you've got one that's went bad. Matter of fact, sometimes you can order replacement batteries. You don't have to replace the whole UPS. But your towns have recycling centers for batteries? Or, people you buy them from take them back? Love to hear your feedback. And this is, a discussion item on Ars Technica as well. Hey, over on CNET, they're saying Intel ships Sandy Bridge chipsets again. So those are available. So if you buy a new computer, they'll have potential to get one of that. NASA twin probes let users view the sun in 3D. Pretty cool video. So basically two of the probes that are circling the sun are on opposite sides of the sun. And so you can now see a full view of the sun. Basically, they've got the whole sun covered. Because of the angles that the satellites are in. Shouldn't be surprising at all, but Comcast is finding 67% of polled subscribers are interested in interactive TV features. So we shouldn't be surprised by that at all. I'm trying to rush here because We're already running late, and I've got a lot of comments. Cord cutters made up 0.18% of the market in 2010, and they expect that to hit 2% globally by 2015. I think it's going to go faster, and I'm one of the new cord cutters. Wall Street Journal has a discussion about the Google executive in Egypt was released from basically security services. He's back online, and he's tweeting. More details on that in the show notes. Astronaut Mark Kelly, husband of wounded Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot last month, has resumed training for his planned space shuttle mission in April, and he's back in the training pipeline for STS-134. So, I guess she's doing better on recovery, and I think it's a testament to that couple's fortitude. And I'm actually, this guy's trained his entire lifetime for this mission, so. Or the point to be able to do this mission. So I'm hoping that she continues to get well, and he's going to be able to command the mission for sure. Hard decision, I would surmise, but I'm glad he's able to go. Hey, there's a couple of videos out of a UFO that they think may be a marketing stunt or could be believe, but it's the footage is pretty riveting. Several videos posted to YouTube appear to show a strange ball of light hovering above a Jerusalem shrine before disappearing into the night. At first, the clips shot from different angles seem convincing, or at least an elaborate hoax. They feel this may have something to do with the new movie coming out called Battle Los Angeles. And I saw a preview clip of that. I think that's going to be a great video. But looking at a couple of the shots, some of it makes you go, whoa. Definitely check these out. There was a bunch of stuff seen at the same time, but the two videos on the page that I'm going to link you to, you watch the one and it shows up close, and then there's another one that zoomed out from a different angle and you hear the people talking. It sent chills up my spine because I've seen an orb before, and this thing looked like an orb. And what I saw was not the work of anyone that was doing a hoax. So you can check it out. I have a link in the show notes. Let me know what you think. We'll find out if this is a hoax here over the next couple of days. But all I can say is holy crap. And this happened on January 28th. As well, a UFO was spotted over Utah around the same time. And this one here is a little less convincing, but there's red objects flying slowly and silently in formation. Normally, if it's a military aircraft, it'll have a red and a green light. You don't normally just see like a red light, but it looks like they were dropping flares or something. It's kind of interesting. This happened around the same time. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. But that's it for content tonight. And then these last two were pretty cool. I hope you enjoy them. Love to hear your feedback on them, whether or not you think it's a real deal or not. Guess we'll keep watching on the net to see if it's a hoax or if this was the real deal in the going on with some sort of UFO appearance. All right, let me go ahead and bring up the show notes here for tonight's, or actually the email comments. Got an email from Jason. He says, hey, Todd, just want to pass along this tip for using your GoDaddy promo codes. I recently renewed $200 worth of domains and hosting services from GoDaddy. With your promo codes, I've saved $40 on the renewals. In order to do this, I made two separate renewal orders, each totaling around $100. Then I used your promo code Aloha and applied them to each order. This gave me the maximum discount, 20 on each order versus renewing all the items on a single order. I also ordered an SSL cert using your code recently on a separate order and got a great discount on it as well. If anyone in the audience is making a large order with GoDaddy, they may also want to split the orders into multiple orders so they can apply your code multiple times. Thanks for the promo codes. I'm finding that they consistently are the best discount codes at GoDaddy. He says, I also share them with my friends and work colleagues, which they always appreciate the discount. I'm glad I can support the show in this way and save some dough. So thank you very, very, very much. Okay, so the Todd code we know does not work on domain name renewals. Okay. it does work on non-domain purchases. So we know that. So don't try to buy domains or actually renew domains with Todd. You have to use ComSale, and that will get you a $749, I believe, or $757 renewal versus $1199 on a .com renewal. So thanks for that email, Jason. Definitely appreciate it. Tracker Tom, he sent me a link of this first 360-degree view of entire sun. We covered that during the show. Have that link up in the show notes. Donna, I got your email, and we are working hard to make your experience on the Roku better on that special media. Thanks for sending that email to my attention. I appreciate it. I got another email from Trucker Tom saying, hey, scientists want to launch a giant fishing net to pick up space junk. He's got that link to me on the show notes. And let me look at this last one. I think we already covered that one. Nope. Got an email here from Tim. He says the decision to use Google Engine talks about Microsoft's being caught in the copyright Google search results, and also a correction on Canada. And he said, hey, Todd, I wouldn't normally email you for a correct Toddism, but this one is very important. In your coverage of the caps in Canada, you made it seem like Tech Savvy is forcing these caps on users, and they are the ones profiting from it. It says Tech Savvy is a reseller of Bell, and Bell is the one forcing Tech Savvy to put this cap and Bell is the one collecting the money, not Tech Savvy. So Tech Savvy has been very vocal in fighting the issue with the CRTC and Bell, and there should be no way to look bad. Thanks for that update as well, Jason. I think that's it. Of course, it's been a week since we did a show because I was off to Chicago, and I want to thank you all for tuning in, and it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight, and I'm looking forward to your feedback at the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365, or definitely email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Be here in Honolulu for a while, not going anywhere in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be looking forward to doing the show here in Hawaii, and hope that you guys will find time to tune in and watch the show if you can live. I get started about 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is 10 o'clock Pacific, or 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Those of you in the UK and Australia, usually I'm up hours that you can watch live. So feel free to come over to geeknewscentral.com on Mondays and Thursday nights and join the live show. Otherwise, catch the show on download via iTunes, Zune Marketplace, on BlackBerry, or any of the portable media devices, and you can subscribe at geeknewscentral.com. Everyone, thanks. Thanks for supporting the sponsors at GoDaddy.com, audiblepodcast.com/CES, and getting your next hotel at Luxor by clicking on the Luxor link at geeknewscentral.com. Until next time, everyone take care and aloha.